Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey, this is Georgia Webster, and you're listening to Tobin Tonight.
I'm always kind of interested in, like, how artists kind of become artists. Like, people be like, well, they have an interest in music. It's like, yeah, no shit. But like, you have a backstory, if I'm correct in this, is like, you have an interest with Harry Potter, and somehow that gets dragged into like the songwriting process. Like, listen, I love Friends. I love Mr. Deeds. I love Adam Sandler. That has never translated to me being like, I think I'm pretty funny. I'm going to go be an actor. Why?
Wait, literally 1 second. I'm gonna show you something.
Oh, you want to show me that? Okay, I got something for you. Look at this.
Hey! Is that a quilt?
It's like a blanket I got for my niece, but when she's like over at our house, it's like,
that's
when she was
so sick.
When she was smaller, she was like really into Harry Potter, and I'm just like, Harry Potter is mine. And I
that's
wasn't
actually
even that
such a cool. I would like love that. That's a cool blanket.
Yeah, I will send you a link where you can find it. I'm sure you can get one like on Amazon, but like, it's very lightweight, but it's great for like if you're taking a nap and
wow.
You just want something over. Yeah.
So you're a Potterhead.
Me personally, not so much. My niece.
Your definitely. Niece more. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like
okay.
Like my backstory is I went to see the first one with my dad when we were younger. Okay. And I was like really into it. I was like, oh, this is like so cool. Cause I'm like, what, say 10 maybe?
Yeah.
And then
yeah,
it's
yeah.
just a, like, this is a point in time where you could bring a newspaper into the cinema. And I looked over and it was like, I don't know what scene it was. It was probably early on. And I was just like, did you see that, Dad? Was that so cool? And then I was like, I'm 10 watching this movie by myself now. And I was just like, if you're not interested, I'm got it.
Yeah, no, it's like a 3.5 hour, like, yeah. Well, I was super, I wanted to be like an author before I wanted to be a songwriter. So I'm like super into reading and stuff. And Harry Potter was kind of my first, like that's why I started loving reading. Cause I started, okay. I read Harry Potter and all of those books. And so I just became like obsessed with, like, I literally thought I was a wizard for like 5 years. Like I was like obsessed. Like I had like a wand, a cloak, like a broomstick. Like I lived like, I had like one friend like in middle school and we would just like ride around my yard in our brooms and like pretend that we were wizards. Like
luckily you didn't do the like go off the house where you're just like, I think I can fly.
Yeah, hopefully that. Yeah. Thank God we didn't do that. But yeah, it was definitely an obsession. It was definitely like a obsession, which kind of led into like my song. Like I started liking books and then I started loving reading. And then that kind of all led into like the songwriting stuff, I think.
See, when I was smaller and like the books were kind of first coming out or like, you know, you hear tell of them. It was almost like you'd go to school and you're like, guess what I read last week? And then you're like,
yeah,
just, like a random novel. And then they look at you and just be like, that's great. And then it's like, how many pages? I'm like, oh, it's like 100 and something odd. They'd be like, Harry Potter. And I'm just like, yeah. And they're like,
and?
300 to 400
yeah.
pages. I'm like, okay, cool. It's like, great, yeah. Great. You doubled my book. And now you're just rubbing it in my face. And then they're like, and guess what? My book has more volumes. And I'm just like, my book might have a second book coming out soon.
Like, yeah. The Harry Potters are long, but like they started short, which is cool. Like they're supposed to grow up with the child. Like you're supposed to read the first one when you're younger, and so the first one's like 200 pages or something, but then they get longer, which is kind of cool.
So here's the concept I want to ask you, because again I don't ask a lot of like Harry Potter fans stuff because it's not a Harry Potter podcast, but like do you find from like, you know, when people read a book compared to the movie how like certain elements change? Like, do you find watching the movies, you're like, man, that's not the same as the book. I don't like it. Or are you kind of like,
yeah,
I don't care. I love it either way.
I love the movies. I definitely think the books it's honestly like the books have so much to them. Like, okay. People think that Harry Potter is just like this, like fun, like was like magical world, which it is, but it's also, there's so much depth to like the characters and like the plot and the books. Like once you get into the books, like it just goes all these subplots, like the history of like Dumbledore and like Snape, all this stuff. And the movies, they like dabble on it, but it's definitely not as much as the books. And the movies are good, but the books definitely have a lot more.
Yeah, I find like there's just a lot of I think there's around Christmas time, which is fair because they have different points of the season where it's like there's a holiday. And if you're not into like, you know, Christmas movies, sometimes they'll put on like, for example, we got Comedy Channel here in Canada, but it's weird because it doesn't really always show comedy. So they
I knew you were Canadian. I hear the accent.
So they have like a whole block or a whole day where it's just all Harry Potter. Like a Harry Potter movie marathon. And I'm just like, hey, I'm like, no offense, but I'm just still like, you could play Rush Hour 1, 2, 3, and 4. And like, it's decent, but I'm just like, Harry Potter is long. So it's like,
oh, it totally is.
You have to be very invested. Like they'll play Big Bang Theory all day. And I'm just like, man, I'll stay around for like 4 or 5 episodes, dip out, come back in. I need some space. I'm not sitting down a whole day watching Sheldon because otherwise I will become that person.
It is hella long. That's a weird movie to pick for that they would pick for that.
But like you watch something so long that you eventually like kind of sideline into that character. Like you think it's funny until you actually go out and you realize like, yeah, Sheldon gets away with that because they wrote it for Sheldon to get away with it. You go out in public and you're just still like, I don't understand that. That sounds stupid. And then it's just like, man, why are you being an asshole to that person? I'm just like, oh, am I? It's like, but Sheldon does it on Big Bang and he gets away with it. It's like, yeah, because Sheldon doesn't psychologically know it.
Sheldon, no one wants a real life Sheldon, unfortunately.
No. I mean, he's great. Like, you know, in the later seasons, you get to understand that, like, he has depth. Oh, really? Oh, man. Like, in the later seasons, he kind of understands the depth, but I like, it's probably one of the only shows, I haven't seen Young Sheldon. My niece, again, loves Young Sheldon over Big Bang. But I've seen clips, so it kind of, it's like maybe one of the rare shows that it's like they do the before the after. Like usually it's like, oh, we'll do this and now we're going to show them as they grow up, but they did the opposite. So it's almost like they have where they want to get to, so now they just gotta show, right? And it's really good. It's done well. Like you can,
that's cool.
You can definitely see why Sheldon's the way he is.
Yeah,
but I don't know, there's other shows
you watch it.
There's other shows like Friends that span off to Joey. And again, you're still young, but I'm just like, Joey was like this kind of like cool girls guy. And then Joey is kind of like, he's like more of a sad guy. I'm just like, we don't want that.
Wait, I didn't know they made a spinoff.
Yeah, Joey. Maybe 1 or 2 seasons, but they're trying to show him a little bit more. It's decent, but it's just like Joey is not your Joey character. He's more of like, he tries to be a little bit more grown up and he's not a ladies man. So
wow. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
I need to watch that. I actually
learning things today. So I know
it's from Canada. So that's cool. Northern.
Yeah. What gave it away? Did I say A? Where's the accent?
You said something. Okay. Oh, like there was a little bit of like at first I thought it was a Minnesota accent.
I've heard that one before.
But then you said Canada and I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I've heard because it's Newfoundland. Sometimes it's the way we say hockey. Sounds more Boston.
Hockey. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have a Boston accent. I'm from Massachusetts, but I don't have a Boston accent.
Really? You should adapt one. Adapt one, put it in a song.
I should. Yeah. Boston, cocky con, have a yard.
You should do what, like, I find it hilarious when you see people acting. And then you see them do interviews and the accent is there, but you don't see it in the movie. Like, I think it's like Margot Robbie. Like,
Margot Robbie, yeah.
Yeah, don't understand. Like, don't get the accent. And then when she does the interviews, it's just like, I didn't know you were from, talking to Ryan Gosling. It's like, I didn't know you're from Canada. I was like, the way you just said that, now I get your accent.
You never know in her movies.
But I want to get, like, the long-winded approach to this is, so, like, tell me how kind of the Harry Potter kind of draws into your writing process for songs.
Well, I wouldn't say it like really anymore. Like I love Harry Potter, but I'm not like reading the books, being like, oh, I want
to put this line in there.
I gotta put this in there. Yeah. Yeah. It's more of like when I was younger, I was obsessed with the Harry Potter books. And so I started reading a lot and I started writing my own stories. Like I would go home and I have a couple little books that I wrote in middle school and stuff. And I just, I loved writing. And so I had like one little mermaid book that I wrote that was like 20 pages. And then I started writing this like book about, my family and stuff and just a bunch of little stories. And then I picked up guitar and then I kind of started writing songs based off of that, I guess. Like I was just super into writing. And so after I picked up guitar, I was like, yeah, I'm going to write my songs.
Okay. So like in the early stages of writing songs, like tell me kind of what you were writing about and like where that process comes from. Because like, I'll give you an example. When I was 16, there was like bands like Simple Plan, Yellow Card. It was like a big Avril Lavigne, like a big punk.
Love.
So like, I was never a skateboarder. I was never like fit into this realm, but I love DC shoes because they were like the best shoes that I could find. And then they fit my feet, right? So then all your friends would hang around at like a skate park and you're just like, well, I might not be a skater, but what about if I wrote songs about being a skater? They're like, that sounds like you're a poser. I'm just like, no, hold on, hear me out. And then it's like, so I went home one day and then just wrote up like, it's like, on a cold, dark night, I see you on a half pipe. And then they're like, oh, that's genius. That's good. I'm just like, is it though? Is it? And then I was just like, and I just dropped the pen and picked it up.
You gotta release that.
I'm done.
You gotta release that out.
Yeah.
I want to hear that. I'll put out the X's. Version and you put that up.
Yeah, sure. I'll put it up on like TikTok and they'll be like, when did you write this? I'm like, I was 16 at the time. And they're like, how are you now? I'm like 32. They're like, and do you still think that exists? I'm like, well, I altered it a little bit, but I think it still slaps.
That's so funny. That is so funny. Yeah, I just kind of like, I don't know. I loved Avril Lavigne. That's funny you say that. I was like obsessed with her. Love Taylor Swift, obviously. Like she's like a huge influence. Ed Sheeran. My mom had this iPod and it had some Keane songs. I don't know if you ever listened to Keane.
Okay.
Coldplay had like Cake randomly. You know, Beyonce had a bunch of just a very eclectic group of people. And from that, I started listening to these artists and I was just like, I just love music so much. And my dad is a huge Grateful Dead fan. And so he played guitar around the house and just for fun. And so he kind of taught me how to play like cowboy chords and stuff. And after I learned how to play, I just kind of, I think, took the influence of like Taylor and Ed Sheeran and like all these people that at Coldplay that I was listening to and just started writing my own songs. And that was like fourth grade was when I first started writing. Yeah.
So take me from the time frame of like, again, like anyone can like just write down songs, but when did you think, because I know we're, I'd say a decade apart in age difference, I'll give it that. So like my generation probably uploaded stuff on YouTube to hope that you get hit, right? Like
totally.
like Bieber, for example, or like Shawn Mendes.
Shawn Mendes,
like, yeah, right? So like what essentially triggered in your brain that you're like, okay, well, I'm going to use TikTok, and because I seen this, I think it's called Tell Your Mom, and like apparently that gets like, it's hard. I don't like, I'm not one for an algorithm, but it's like anyone could like upload something, but then for it to hit on something, you need like either something to trigger people to be like, yo, you got to check this out. Or this has to be like, you're trending. So like, can you kind of, I know it's like a scientific almost question, but like, can you kind of figure it out of like how it's like you uploaded this and the next minute it just kind of blows up? Like, cause
I don't know.
No offense, but it's like a lot of people just upload songs every day and they get nothing.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I do that now. I mean, my TikTok algorithm has been, I'm one of those people like has been shit lately. Like, excuse my language. It's been so bad. And it is annoying. Like if you're uploading stuff and you don't get those views, but I think I have like a love hate relationship with TikTok. I think everyone does, but I am really blessed that a few things did take off in that way because I've been writing songs since fourth grade. Like I've been gigging since I was 15. Like when I applied to school for songwriting at Belmont and like, I always have wanted to do this. So having that song blow up like that was like this is what I wanted to do. And so it allowed me, like, got my manager through TikTok, and I knew that I had an Instagram account first, and that was what I was posting everything on. It was like Georgia Webster Music or something. And I was posting all my original songs on there, and everyone in my high school would comment and be like, oh my God, this is about so-and-so. Like, it would always be about someone in my school or something. And it was so funny. But then I kind of realized, like, this isn't doing anything. Like, Instagram isn't, there was before Reels existed. Okay. So I didn't, there was no way to, like, reach anyone. And so you could do, like, hashtags, but it wasn't really reaching anyone. And so this was when Lizzie McAlpine first popped on TikTok, like, in her bathroom. And so I kind of was inspired by that. And I was like, I love, like, the acoustics in my bathroom, and I'm just going to do a cute kind of whatever just for fun. And I didn't expect it to blow up at all. And I just recorded one of my songs that I had written, like, a couple weeks before. And my mom told me, when I played her Tell Your Mom before I posted it, she was like, ha, like, she was laughing. She was like, this is so funny. And I was like, it's so good. And she was like, ha, like, it's a funny song. Like, she just thought it was like a joke. And then I posted it and it took off, and I woke up the next morning and it was like, I don't know why, it just went, it had gone viral, and I was like, damn, like, people must like this. And then I kept posting my songs, and the more I posted, the more people latched onto me and kind of built a small little fan base through that.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's funny because, like, your response to that, like, now, I don't know, you don't have to say, you know, or if you don't, it's not a big deal, but it's like Robin Ottolini, so the Canadian that we have up here.
Yeah, love her. She's great.
She had mentioned almost the same thing. Like, I was telling her about my algorithm. Like, I don't really care. It's just for me. I can post it. If it gets 5 likes, great. If it gets 25 likes, cool. Like, I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it because I like it.
Yeah,
but
totally.
Like, her response was kind of like, well, maybe you're just not in the right algorithm. And I was just like, how do I figure out what algorithm I'm in? And she's just like, well, it's like, you just gotta, like, go here. And, like, she's kind of giving me, like, a marketing campaign. And I was just like, that's great. And it works for you. But she's just like, yeah, sometimes it's just to, like, whatever, someone just picks on it one day and then it just triggers. And then it's just like, and then next minute they tell their friends and then they're like, oh yeah, that's kind of cool. Like, I follow a thing, just kind of my weird humor. I think it's called, like, Space Cadets or Space something. And it's literally just a guy that, like, draws stuff. And it's like the weirdest of combinations of sketches, and cool. Like, some people, like, I don't get it, and I'm just like, all right, but apparently a lot of people think it's funny, so
yeah. I mean, it just depends. I mean, I feel the same way. Like, sometimes there's just random stuff that blows up, you're like, why is this blowing up? But I feel like it's just, yeah, I mean, I guess it just all takes is one video for you to kind of, for people to see and latch onto. So it's kind of just like throwing shit out there and hoping something sticks.
Yeah. Exactly. I want to ask you now, of course, like, going from that, like, because, like, the first song that I think that I seen you from, and this kind of works for the Instagram and, like, Spotify, and, like, again, stumbling across an artist, because back in my day, you'd have to see it on, like, a Much Music video or a CMT countdown, and you're like, I like it, now where do I get it? And it's like, oh, I got to go buy the album, and now I got to listen to a CD, but I'm never going to have, like, a physical, like, you know, in your hand. But now with Instagram and Spotify, it's just, like, it just comes across. It'd be like sponsored ad, or you might like this person because you like this. And I think one day it was probably during, was it COVID? Maybe a little bit after COVID. But I was like, it just kind of a sad day. And I was after listening to some sad music. And then next minute, it's just like, you might like Georgia Webster. And I was just like, sure, why wouldn't I? And then it's just like, I'll give it a go. And then it was like, and again, at least I'm honest about it. It was like one song I listened to was X's. And then at first I was like, okay, it's like, doesn't relate to me. I'm like in my 30s.
Totally,
and
And
then the second time I listened to it, I was like, it's catchy. And then the third time, I'm just like, say, I had a walk, your partner, Margaret. And so I was just like, are you singing this song now? I'm just like, I told you, it takes me like 10 listens before I actually like really dig into a song. Now it's so actually, funny. It's like on my phone.
Well, let's go. I'm glad that Spotify worked too. That's good to know.
Yeah, but tell me that process of, like, because how you got, say, X's and then getting signed to a label. Because, again, like, it's a different landscape. There are thousands of people, I'm sure, uploading things to TikTok at the time, Vine, all this stuff. So how does it, number one, you get the manager and then you mm-hmm. go to Nashville. Like, is it that someone sees that the things are trending? Do they look at your views? Yeah. And, or do they just like, she has a good voice, and we're signing her?
it was really interesting. Honestly, I've been like signed for a while. I've been signed for like almost 3 years, coming up 3 years. So it was like right after high school. I got signed during COVID. So it was one of those like TikTok signings kind of. And I think I met my manager, started working with him. He's great. And he has a couple artists, bigger country artists. And so he kind of had connections at the labels and stuff. And we had a meeting, me and Riverhouse and Sony, who I'm signed with, both of them. And I, went down to Nashville and sang for them. And I just sang them like maybe like five or six of my songs, my original songs. And they just loved them and they thought they were really good and they thought that I was a really good writer. And so they ended up signing me to a deal, and I ended up signing publishing too when I moved to Nashville. But it kind of just happened. Like, I just played them all my stuff and they really liked it. And I think they were probably also signing a lot of, I don't know, I can't speak for them, but they were probably signing quite a few people at the time with, you know, TikTok and all of that, because there's so many amazing artists that were like taking off at the time. And then I moved to Nashville and I put out my EP. That was all the stuff that I wrote in high school, just like by myself, because I wanted to get that out. And that's like Tell Your Mom, Push and Pull, a couple other songs. And then I put out my second EP, which was stuff that I co-wrote when I first moved to Nashville. And that was stuff that, like, when I first moved, like I first ever started co-writing, and that's like X's, John Mayer songs, Tattoos, all those songs. And they really liked those, and X's took off on TikTok. Kelsey found X's, Kelsey Ballerini, and she really liked it. And so she asked me to go on tour with her, which was crazy. And I opened for her. But then it kind of like, yeah, I think they just saw like the songwriting, I guess. And I just kept, you know, I was like, this is like it's weird being signed, like coming out of high school and moving and just getting signed right off the bat. But I feel fortunate. I feel grateful. Like, I feel like they really believe in me, and it was just kind of happened. And now I'm just here, but it was crazy. Everything kind of just escalated. And then I went tour with Kelsey, and now I'm putting out this EP that I wrote the past year. And I've been working on with King Henry, who's a producer here.
I do think it's interesting, because when you mentioned like Kelsey Ballerini, like, I remember the first time I'm listening to Kelsey Ballerini. You know, like, sometimes you'll hear an artist, you don't know their name, but it's like just a feature in a song. So it was like the Chainsmokers.
Kelsey,
and it was just still like, okay, it's like solid
this
voice.
This feeling? Yeah.
Yeah. It's like solid voice, whatever. And then it's just like, but for some reason, I was like, okay, that's going to be like a pop singer. And then you hear like the other one where she's a homecoming queen and it's like mm-hmm. country. And I'm just like, why does that voice sound familiar? And then it's just like, oh, I thought she was going to be more pop. And then like, and then you're just like, okay, well, now this is going to be her rise. And then now all of a sudden it's just like one of the tops in the country world. But I will give her a credit, which I think is kind of interesting, especially at like a young age too, is I think someone had tweeted out when she had, I don't remember the song right now, but it was like really popular on radio. And people were like coming to her almost like, I'm sick of hearing your song, as if she's calling the radio station to be like, yo, play my song.
That's crazy.
And then she was kind of like, well, the reason you're probably hearing it so much is because it's like a top 10 song on radio. Like, it was not, and I like it. And some people are like, oh, the ego, but it was almost like, she's just telling you why you're hearing it. It's not like they're 100%. Choosing. Yeah. It's not
and
like
she's
they're
great.
Choosing.
She's so great. Like, totally deserves to be on top 10, totally deserves to be on the radio. And people get mad when they hear an amazing female vocalist on country radio, because there's not many of them. So I think people just get butthurt.
I think people just get mad when there's a constant repetition. Like, it's like when
totally
it's
too.
Like,
yeah.
It's like, cause I'm happy. This like, was it, what's his name? Pharrell song.
Pharrell.
Like, if you don't like it, you're annoyed, but if you love it, you will turn up the radio and listen to it all day.
Yeah. Radio like, needs to just like, find a better rotation. They need to just like figure something out.
I think they have like their own kind of like philosophy or spin, but it's just to like, I think personally is I will listen to my iPhone on shuffle rather than a radio, or but like I will find artists that you probably won't hear on radio right now, but they might like have that one song you'll hear on radio and you're like, that's great, that's your like pop song.
Yeah.
And then you have your ones that are like your niche. Like I have totally. I have like a whole library of 1975, but I'm sure like at least 10 of those have not been on radio, but you love them. And it's like Knox. I like Knox, but like I haven't
heard, I wrote a song with him.
Yeah, I haven't heard any of his songs like on radio because I haven't listened to it, but I can guarantee you I have like at least 10 of his songs. I'm just sort of like, I wish you'd play it so other people could hear it. But at the same time, it's mine. It's mine, and I like that it's mine.
It's a little bit of like it's like you're like, you have your niche.
It's like when you go to someone's like, oh, you think that's cool? It's like, have you heard Knox? And they're like, who? And then it's like, here. And they're like, oh, it's so cool. I'm just like, yeah, remember who,
like, yeah,
remember who showed you
it. That was me with Noah Kahan. I listened to him for so long. I listened to him since like eighth grade, I think, ninth grade. And then he started taking off and I was like, he's mine.
I know him first. Well, that's how it's funny enough, because when I was in university, my friend showed me Ed Sheeran.
Wow.
And I wasn't into like the A Team at first or Low songs. I think it was like Give Me Love was the first one I heard.
Oh, such a good one. Yeah.
And I was kind of like, man, this guy's like really deep in his emotions. And then like later he kind of came a little bit more poppy with like Sing and Bad Habits and whatnot.
Oh,
and
I was
like,
so good.
I was like, all right. But like, I'm sure anytime I see her, I'll be like, Ed Sheeran's like one of my favorites. She'll be like, and I brought him into your life. Thank you.
I mean, Ed Sheeran's a big one. Ed Sheeran's like, that's pretty sick to find before.
Yeah, exactly. Cause like you're just like, you know, this is obviously.
You feel like you're part of the journey too. I feel like you kind of feel like you're like, you know them. Like you feel like you're part of the story rather than just like hopping on a bandwagon. Growing with the artist.
It's so weird though that you like know someone when they're like just getting there, and then like they come off and you're still like, wow, they knew this person before they struck it big, right?
Totally.
So like I don't really have one in that essence. Like my friends introduced me to 1975 and then they're kind of like a big deal.
Well, maybe it'll be me.
Just be like, hey guys, listen to this Georgia Webster, and then they'll be like, okay. And then like 5 years from now, it's like, did you listen to I was just like, yeah, and we had her on like 5 years ago, and now when we try to interview her, she's just like, and I'm just like, whoa.
No, never Tobin tonight. Yeah, never.
Oh, good.
I'll always be back.
Perfect. Until like a publicist comes back, be like, I know what she said. She was too young. She didn't know
better.
She was
too young. She doesn't remember. ADHD.
Yeah. The other song that I've seen on Instagram, I know this has probably been out since March, but it's like, is it Delusional?
Yeah, Delusional, yeah.
Tell me a little about Delusional before we get into like the fun aspect here.
Yeah, Delusional, I wrote with a couple of my co-writers in Nashville, and I wrote it after this like situationship breakup that I went through last year. And situationship is like, you know, you probably know.
Yeah.
You've heard it. In a relationship, you do everything that you would do in a relationship, but like no commitments. And I went through the situationship breakup. I was super upset about it, super heartbroken. And I was scrolling on TikTok, and it was like kind of before like Delusional, like the word became like a big trendy word, but I saw it on one of these TikToks and it was like, I'm a Delulu girl, like something about being a Delulu girl, and I just thought it was such a good word, so I put it in my notes and I was like, this is perfect for me, because at the time I was like scrolling on TikTok every day watching those tarot card readers.
Okay.
And I would be like waiting for a message, like sometimes they'd be like, He wants you back. Like he wants to come back. Like just give it some time. Like he wants to get married, but like you need to just give it some time. And it'd be all these like crazy, like super delusional messages that I was taking to heart. And all my friends were just telling me that I was like needed to chill and that it wasn't real. And so I brought this idea into like the writing room and we ended up writing it. But it's kind of just about that feeling of like feeling down, super down bad about someone, and like feeling kind of like, you can't really, you're kind of gaslighting yourself a little bit. Like you're like, oh, did this like really happen? Like, did they really like me ever? Or was I just kind of overthinking everything and making a big deal out of nothing? And I think after a situationship breakup, it's easy to feel like that.
Yeah, I think it's funny because when you use the word situationship, the first artist that I've heard that said that to me was Chloe Caroline. And she said the same thing when she was writing a song. She was like, this was about like a situational ship I had. And I was just like, okay, can you elaborate? I get it now.
It's
but...
the worst. It's actually the worst, because it's like it's not real,
but you think it is.
Totally. It feels so real. Everything you're doing, like you're going on dates, you're going, I mean, depending on the situationship, but like with us, like we were going on dates and like he was, you know, sleeping over and we were doing all this fun stuff and having all these deep conversations. And then it ends and it's like, well, it's not a breakup and yeah. I should just be able to get over this. And we've been together for not even a month. Yeah. But I think just because it ends so fast, you don't really get the closure. Like, and they didn't give it the chance to get to the point of a relationship. So then you're kind of like left hanging, like, well, we didn't even get the chance to date. Like, what are you doing? Yeah. So it's just a crazy thing.
Like, it's the grown-up approach to it. But I think as a kid, there's probably a lot of kids out there that have, like, when they're, like, say, anywhere between kindergarten to grade 4 or 5, they have those experiences, but they just don't know how to word it. You know what I mean? Like, you're just
like a situationship?
You know, yeah, like, it's like... like, I was giving this girl my lunch pack every day. She was giving me stuff and we would benefit. And like, we'd be hanging out together at the light. I gave up ball hockey for her with my boys.
Yes.
She gave up like chit chat with the girls. I hit my hand off my wall. But there's just
we
like,
met up at recess. And
Sudden, one day, someone's just like, he's icky. And then that just, it just blew the door wide open. Yeah. She thought I was icky.
That is so funny. Yeah. Situationships are the crush, but that's basically like the crush. Like the crush is like the first stage. And then the situationship is like, that's when it gets real. And then it's like, and then relationship. It's like the crush, situationship, relationship.
You mentioned about having an album coming out and a duet, like now, or, you know, we don't have to mention the person's name. Obviously they can figure it out for themselves, but tell me a little bit about obviously the EP and maybe a little bit about how this came about, like, because was it for you originally and then they came to you and said, yo, we want to get on this? Or were you kind of like, you know what would be great if you hopped on this song with me? And then they were just like,
that was the
easy
vibe.
Girl, easy.
That was the vibe. That was the vibe. I'm not afraid to ask. I wrote this whole EP album, whatever. It's pretty much the length of an album, but it's an EP technically. But I wrote this whole thing about the situationship breakup, and I wrote it kind of starting last spring, so like coming up a year, and I wrote all these songs and I was just like, I was super excited about them, but I didn't have a producer and I wanted to work with a new producer for this stuff. And I ended up hitting up, as I did with the band, just, you know, just hitting them up, hitting up one of my favorite producers in town. He's amazing, King Henry, and he does Sasha Sloan stuff, and he's also married to her, and I've been a fan of her forever. And so I DM'd him and I was like, I have all these songs that I've written and I don't have anyone to produce them. And he was like, well, you can come over to my house and play me them and we can see what the vibe is. And so I went over to his house and played them for him, and he like loved them. And so he did the whole project, and they're like my favorite songs that I've written, and I'm just really excited about them. With the collab, that was one of the songs that we did, and I didn't expect it to be a collab. Like, I have the original version that's probably going to come out at some point too, but I wrote it with one of my friends. His name's Connor Moy, and he put his like vocal like underneath the chorus, my chorus vocal, when we first wrote it in the demo. And so we had this like underlying male vocal in the demo, and so I kept hearing it. I was like, it sounds so good with this male vocal. And like, I feel like there needs to be like an actual like feature of some sort. And so I was thinking about people, and I was like, okay, like, have a couple bands in mind. And so I ended up asking this band, and they agreed to it. I sent them the song and they agreed, and yeah, the rest is history. I think like it's definitely, and I don't like the genre stuff because it's like, it's, you know, I mean, who cares? Like, music is music. But I also think I have a lot of country influence. Like, I grew up listening to country, but I also grew up listening to pop and singer-songwriter. And I feel like this next stuff is a lot technically more pop. And this band is more pop. And so I feel like people are going to be a little bit like...
Interesting. Okay. I thought I had the idea, but now when you say it's a little bit more pop, I mean, after this, I'm going to probably DM you and just be like, is it this person? Is it? And you'll be like, no. It's not. And then if it is, if I find out and you just like, it's not, and I'd be like, but you said it wasn't and it was, and you just be like, Brian, I had to keep it secret. I'd be like, you're over. We're done.
We're done.
You're done.
Hi, I'm Steve Yerko.
And I'm Tara Sands. Now available from Maji Media is our new podcast, 4Kids Flashback. 4Kids is the company who brought you the English dub of Pokemon in the late 90s and so many other shows like Yu-Gi-Oh!, Shaman King, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Kirby, the infamous One Piece dub, and so many more.
We'll be talking to the people who worked at 4Kids. Actors, directors, writers, editors, producers, engineers, you get the point. And hopefully get the answers to questions both you and I have about the company.
I actually worked there as a voice actor on some of the shows.
And I was a kid watching the shows and remember way more than Tara does.
And thank God for that. Steve is actually a professional storyboard artist, which gives some really unique insights into anime and animation. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts. That's the number 4 Kids Flashback.
To kind of get to the fun aspect, we have a fun game of random questions to end it off. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. So it's a random question generator. So let's see what the first random question is. Your favorite movie and why?
God, favorite movie's hard. There's so many good ones. My favorite movie might be either The Notebook or The Hunger Games. Two very different vibes. Okay. The Notebook is a great, just incredible movie. Obviously, classic, amazing romance movie. The end makes me cry every time. Acting is so good. I just love it. Hunger Games. I'm also a big Hunger Games fangirl, and I read those books, and I think the movies are equally as good as the books. Pretty much. They're close. They're really close. I think they're great movies. So I would say those two.
Okay. The next random one we have here is, do you remember your most recent kind of embarrassing moment?
God, I have them every freaking day. I don't even know. I literally have so many. I have one that there was, oh God, which one do I even say? There was one where I ran into the guy that I wrote the songs about at my workplace, at my label. And I had all these donuts. I brought donuts in and I wrote on the box. I was like, stream equals one bite of the donut. And so I bring the donut box. I was carrying the donut box into the commonplace of Sony. And I walk in there and he's standing there, and it's the first time I've seen him in months. And so I literally almost dropped the donuts. And I just was standing there, and I really could not speak. And it was just so awkward. And then I put the donuts down and I was like, have a donut, take a donut. And literally it's the song is about him, and it's one stream equals one bite. And then he took a donut and it was just the weirdest, most awkward moment of my life.
I think the most embarrassing one I can come up with is when I was younger and I was in a school play and I had to be a mouse. They gave you a mouse. They gave you a mouse, and then you had to do another one where you come back and do a monologue. So I was like, okay, mouse is simple. You just come out. I think the line was, oops, I mean, eek. So the crowd was like, oh, it's so adorable. And then there's five or six scenes that I'm not in. So I went back, and it's around Christmas. So I go back into a room with the rest of my class to watch a Christmas movie. And then it was supposed to be someone will knock to let you know the scene before. Hey, you get ready. You got to come back out. I was like, done deal. Cool. You're 12. Okay. Maybe not even 12.
Yeah.
But it's you don't have the concept of you're in your own bubble.
Totally. And
so then next minute I hear a knock on the door, and it's like, all right, Brian, they're ready. So I'm thinking, oh, it's the beginning of the next act or whatever. No, they were after opening the stage three goddamn times and no Brian. So and my parents were like, where the fuck is he? And then the music teacher was kind of like, it's supposed to be good. We don't know where he is. Just relax. And then I come out and he's like, everything's great. I'm ready. And then as they're strapping you with the pack or whatever so they can get your voice.
Yeah.
She's just go out there and do your job. And I was just like, sorry. She's like, don't talk to me. The strap is on. And I was just like, I was like so confused and like, what happened? Did someone fuck up? And then she's like, yeah, me. I fucked up. I was supposed to be there 20 or 10 minutes ago. And it's So she's like, just go out there and do your lines and nail it. And I was just like, in my mind, absolutely, I can do that. We've done it all. And it's just later on, I'm just like, oh, that's why there was so much pressure. I missed it.
Wow. Damn. Yeah. That's a very, what I got from that was that you were using in-ear packs. Fourth grade.
No, they have this the strap here. If you go on a late night show or whatever, they could put a thing on so people can hear you through the loudspeakers.
Was it a mic?
So they're not gonna hear you with you could speak into an actual volume light or whatever you want, stand up mic. But they were just like, no, because you kind of have to move around. Like, you got to go like,
wow,
I'm with the potatoes, I'm with this. So they want you to like move.
That's still a really, that's a nice theater vibe.
Yeah, yeah.
I wish we had that. That's so cool.
It was probably like the one time they gave it to us, and then I messed it up for everyone. They're like, no more. Brian has ruined this for you.
Yeah, that like, was the he end did of the day.
Yeah, he did not show up on time. Therefore, no more remote mics. It's like, yeah, I'm like, oh, sorry, guys.
End of his theater days right there.
Yeah, more than likely it was. What's your favorite snack?
Anything sweet. I like, right now, I really like dark chocolate covered, like pomegranate berry things from Trader Joe's.
Okay. I'm really more of a sour. I'm more of a sour person. I like anything sour.
Like Sour Patch Kids?
That's like my go-to that I don't like. It's like, I don't know. It's just not a taste that I like.
What's like a sour snack that you like?
Sour Keys.
What's that?
You never had Sour Keys? Really? Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm just trying to think of, well, I don't have any there now. I like Sour Nerds. There's like a package of like.
Sour Nerds are good.
Yeah. And what's another thing sour that's like, when I was smaller, I used to like Warheads. Like the little
Warheads
like,
are so good. The lemon ones. Ugh.
Yeah. I used to like blue as a child, but then I got scared because one kid had like stuffed so many in his mouth. And then like, he was like over by the water fountain. He's like, word of advice, don't do that. And like, I'm just still like, this guy's like probably like, it felt like he was like a war veteran, but he was probably only in like grade 10. But that's of course, so you're funny. Like, you're like in grade 5. You're like, understood, good sir.
He's
like,
got thank PTSD. You
for, yeah, thank, you for the, thank you for letting me know. I'll go back and tell the rest of the grade 5s. I've just experienced a grade 10 that told us the future.
Damn, no pun intended, Warhead.
Yeah, yeah. What is your biggest insecurity?
Oh, that one. What's your favorite snack? What's your biggest insecurity?
Yeah, it's random. Come on.
Let's see. Probably my music.
Really?
It's my biggest love and my biggest, I'm so confident in it, but it's also at the simultaneously my biggest insecurity because I always feel like I could be doing better. And so I always like, I love the music that I'm putting out, but I also, it's like a year old. So now I'm like, okay, I could be doing better. Like the songs that I'm writing now are better. So like, I want to be putting these ones out. So I guess that's kind of like how it always goes for me.
My biggest insecurity is your music as well. No, no. Someone just walks out to you in the street. Yeah, yes.
Okay, Ryan.
Ryan, what is your biggest insecurity? It's like Georgia Webster's music. They'd be like, they just like, it's like those streeters you see on Instagram and they just continue to walk. They're like,
no, the fact that I listen to Georgia Webster's music. Yeah, that's my biggest insecurity.
Yeah, no, I think as a child, my biggest insecurity was listening to female artists in general. Cause you'd go to school and they'd be like, did you like Simple Plan? Like, love Simple Plan. You like Fall Out Boy? Yeah. And then they'd be like, what do you think of Ashley Simpson? Like, Ashley Simpson.
True. People were such haters on female artists back in the, I mean, still.
Well, unless you had like 10 other friends that were like the song Complicated by Avril Lavigne, now obviously you can't argue it. But as you grow older, I will go on to like listen to anything in my car. I don't care who's there to listen to it. Like if I want to play Shania Twain, I'll play Shania Twain. But maybe when I was 20 odd, it's kind of like, Shania, we're going to listen to you alone. Right now, I'm going to put on some like, you know, like, I don't know. I'd have to find like, I guess like, fuck, Panic at the Disco or something that's like people would just be like, oh yeah, I didn't know you liked that. I'm just like, yeah, I do. It's just that
is becoming broken as time goes on.
Yeah.
Female artists, like people, I feel like guys are starting to open up a little bit more. And
I go on TikTok or like Instagram and I see, I think it's like a UK artist. I think she goes by Griff or Griff.
Oh, Griffey. I love Griff. She's great. She's one of my faves right now.
I'll put it on the song or in the radio and some or in my car and someone's just like, what is this? Like, Griff. And they're like, it's a girl artist. I'm just like, and what's your point?
Yeah. People are weird for saying that.
Yeah.
Whoever says that is weird.
I listened to Backstreet Boys and NSYNC growing up and I turned out fine. Shut up. I turned out fine.
Yeah.
No one's
maybe she's into more female artists.
Yeah, that's my bucket list. Okay. So the last one we have here, let's see if I can find one. Who was your first celebrity crush?
Niall Horan.
Really?
Hopelessly devoted to Niall Horan. I had a cardboard cut out of him in my room and middle school, and I used to have these One Direction journals that I still have, and I would write fan fiction about Niall Horan, and I used to write about like us dating, and that I used to just like be in love with him, and I would like make out with the cardboard cutout every morning, like give it like a kiss every morning, and yeah, I was obsessed, and I was really remember being like genuinely like upset that we couldn't date. Like I saw them in concert; they were like my first real concert, One Direction, and I was like crying, like Niall, like I need Niall.
Oh well, that's so funny because we have a special guest. Ready, Niall. Come in.
Niall. No. Don't even joke. Don't do that to me.
This band's over to the door. And I wasn't even ready for it. It's just like, hey, wait, how the fuck did you know we were doing it? It's just like, my car broke down and I was in Newfoundland. I'm like, why are you in Newfoundland? Like, go
don't even joke with me. I'm obsessed with him. Obsessed. Still am obsessed. I think he's so good. But
my first celebrity crush would either have to be like Trish Stratus, the wrestler, or Shania Twain.
Shania Twain is valid. I don't know the wrestler, but that's an interesting
Or Britney Spears, but it's just like
valid. I
feel
love
like,
her.
I feel as I get older, I'm kind of like, and this is like the mindset, I guess, of a guy. I don't know, maybe girls do it too, but I'm just like, I look at the age difference between Shania and Britney. I'm just like, I think I had a shot with Britney. It's just like she was still like 10 years older than you. I'm just like, yeah, but compared to Shania. Like, I think I had a shot.
I felt that way about Niall, too. I would, like, look up his age all the time, and I would, like, hope that it would change somehow. And, like, go down. One day he turns 13.
just wakes up one day just like, I'm actually a lot younger, but I had to pretend I was older. And I'd just be like...
I wish. I really wish. Now maybe it could work, but I have a boyfriend now, so sorry, Niall.
That's the roadblock in the way, for sure.
Yeah. It is.
That's going to do it for this episode of Tobin Tonight. Our thanks to Georgia Webster for coming onto the show. Remember, you can find past, present, and future episodes on TobinTonight.com, Spotify, and iTunes. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and leave a comment or two. For Tobin and myself, this is Jacob saying thank you for listening and good night.
Looking to make the most out of this life and optimize your personal wellness? Then check out the Natural Man Podcast. Join me, host Mike C, as we explore all areas of human wellness, physical, mental, and emotional. Learn strategies to optimize your own well-being and be in the driver's seat of your own health. Remember, your doctor works for you. Learn biohacks, neurohacks, ways to improve sleep, and ways to optimize your body and your mind. Check us out on Apple, Spotify, the Fountain app, and at naturalmanpodcast.com.
Come on a journey like no other, where you will discover many rogues that will lead you to a happier, healthier, and more stress-free life. And the beauty is, you don't need any vacation time for this adventure. The journey will come to you. Join Avery Rich on your very own journey into yoga. Along the way, she will demystify yoga poses and guide you into a yoga posture or short sequence, all in less than 15 minutes. You have nothing to lose but stress. The Journey into Yoga podcast. It's not for people who like yoga. It's for people who don't like yoga. Follow or subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or at averyrich.com.
Another Sound Off Media Company podcast.